On January 16th, the day I flew to San Diego for a week of birding and relatively balmy temperatures in Southern California, I got an email from Maxine Linehan of Hovland, just north of Grand Marais. She wrote, "For the past weeks, we have had consistent daily sightings of a yellow-rumped warbler at our suet feeders, so I've been offering a variety of suet and was able to obtain dried mealworms, putting them in our platform feeder." She has been extra feisty guarding her platform feeder from the chickadees and trying to engage them in aerial combat. Each day she is with us as it gets colder, it amazes me, and I wonder where she sleeps in the cold. I was out of range to check my email much of my trip, so I didn't have time to respond before she wrote back telling me she'd found information that indicated yellow-rumped warblers are pretty hardy. She soon wrote back adding, "I think she must have hatched late in the season. As she eats the shredded suet cakes I put in her tray feeder, she flutters her wings like a begging nestling." Maxine ended with, "Each day I see her is closer to spring." Well, it's possible but highly unlikely that the warbler represents a late hatching. There's no way that a pair of adults could have brought off a nest in August or September, even in this mild fall. There's barely any anecdotal evidence that this species ever nests twice in the same season. I'm intrigued with the behavior she describes. The bird was assertive enough to take over one feeder from the chickadees, so my guess is that it was opening its wings aggressively, possibly towards those chickadees or other birds. I've seen chickadees during their first fall holding their wings out to claim dominance over young flock mates. This would have been a fascinating behavior to observe, photograph, and even make a video of. If I hadn't been in California, it would have been worth the drive to Hovland just for that. I'm not surprised it found her feeder. In the first 20 years we lived here, we had none ever at our feeders until one showed up on a cold, drizzly day in April 2001. Then I went more than a decade without seeing another at the feeders, though they've always been common migrants in my trees. But they do seem to pay attention to chickadees and other feeder birds, and in spring 2013, one showed up at one of my feeders again. In 2014, fairly large flocks turned up in both spring and fall. I thought I was seeing a sea change in yellow-rumped warbler behavior, but didn't have them at my feeders at all in 2015. We can't help but be curious about whether climate change was involved in Maxine's bird remaining so very late, but yellow-rumped warblers have been considered rare winter visitors in Minnesota for many decades. Even so, Maxine's bird was obviously quite exceptional. She said the warbler was most active in the low light of dawn and dusk and was skittish, making photography difficult at best, but she did get distant photos on January 22nd. Sadly, that ended up being the last day she saw the little thing. It had survived our nights with double digits below zero, and the 22nd happened to be right when the temperatures were getting a little milder again, so there's a good chance that after getting through the worst of it, it decided to take advantage of the gentler conditions to head south. But we'll never know for sure. The little indigo bunting in my own neighborhood disappeared weeks ago, but like the warbler, there was no particular indication that the bird was in distress, so nowhere near the certainty that it had succumbed like our Duluth ivory gull almost certainly did. Fruit-eating birds such as robins and waxwings and yellow-rumped warblers, which specialize on wax myrtle berries, tend to be more flexible in their winter movement patterns than most birds, so it's quite likely that this little mite wandered south and may right now be basking with other yellow-rumps in Texas or Florida. Without evidence either way, that's the picture I'm keeping in my mind's eye. After all, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.